This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Lord, as we spend time in your word this morning, we thank you that it's confirming of what your spirit is busy with in us. We are excited to hear from you, Lord. Thank you that you ground us in your truth. There's none like you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Will you just, before we go on, will you just in thankfulness with me, just say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are revealing yourself. Thank you that you are speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for a perfect work that you are busy with in us. It's a perfect work, Lord. It's a perfect work, Lord. We are so thankful. We are so thankful, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much to everyone for your obedience in following God, from praying and putting your eyes on Him to know what songs to prepare, and for you being here this morning, coming to receive and to bring your gift, coming with your whole heart. Thank you for being here. We would have been so much poorer if it wasn't for everyone obeying God. Do you believe that this morning? As we were praying this morning, I was just so blessed by the intercession and by everything that was happening there. And at a point, Holy Spirit told me, we are not defining Him by our prayers. He is revealing Himself through our prayers. I'm just going to say that again. Can you align your heart with that? We are not, as we are praying and as we are worshiping and as we are spending time forming Him, He is revealing Himself through our worship, through our prayers, through our time in Scripture. It's something that He is busy doing. We are so thankful this morning. We are serving a living God. For those of you that has no idea what's going on, God is leading us in a season where He's specifically guiding us around the principle of that God is busy building His church. And when I speak about God building His church, I'm not speaking about the building or the denomination or an institution or any form of organization. God is busy building His people resembling Him on earth. People. Now that includes everyone that's here this morning, irrelevant of age. God is busy building His church in us. And He's busy building His church through us. And He's showing us what that looks like. Now, over the past few weeks, we often took a bird's eye view and just were reminded about what we're busy with. And then we dive into something. And what we, over the past few weeks, dive into was mostly about the conditions of our hearts and things that might possibly stop His Spirit from doing what He wants to do. If we receive the perfect word from God and our hearts are not able to receive and we are not able to respond well, it means nothing. Now, for those of you that have children, it often feels like that. You have many great ideas that you try to teach to them, and often it seems like you're speaking to a wall. We don't want to be a wall. We want to be a people that receives His word and that responds, that hear what He's busy saying and then be transformed by it, be renewed by it, and then live it. Take it somewhere. Make it actively so that other people might also see Him. The intention is to reveal Himself in me and through me so that other people might also see Him. Not see shofar, not see Henny, not see the word Christian, but see Jesus. Revealed, the Father's heart revealed. This morning, it was so interesting when I prepared, I had this one-liner at a point in my heart feeling this morning can either be very quick or very long. I had no idea that was what it meant. The scripture in Ephesians 4 that started all of this, we are still busy with Ephesians 4, was so that we may no longer be children or infants tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head. This happened the whole time. And I didn't have two Craigs and a Louis running with me to organize everything. There was just so many things that happened as I was preparing this sermon that there actually came a point while I was preparing that I thought to myself, maybe this is not from God. Have you ever tried to follow Jesus so hard that at a point you felt this is not working? Okay? I think I must stop this. I think I have the whole direction wrong. This is not the direction. So I just want you to know that although the sermon part of this morning is probably going to be very short, I want you to understand that the enemy has a very, very clear directive to stop this message from going out.
That must make it an amazing message.
Let's hope it's not as short as Jonah, ne? Not that short. I was battling this week to prepare. I was battling to understand the scripture. And every time when I go away from my laptop, away from my Bible or whatever, I would be drawn back into this specific word. So please don't miss this. Let's allow God to come show us what's going on. Makes the whole body grow up. Is that thing also on? I want you to see it, but I'm going to read it in Ephesians 4, the last part. Makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. What was interesting to me when I read the portion of scripture we are going through this morning, I felt a very interesting guidance from the Holy Spirit saying, this is not going to be a typical exegetical type or expository type sermon. I want you to focus on specific parts. So for those of you that know how to prepare a sermon, you will probably give me a 2 out of 10 this morning. And that's okay. If God has something in your heart, just don't miss it, okay? You can give me 2 out of 10 after this service. Going to read from Luke 1. So, I was very tempted to read the whole chapter, and then I heard Belen's voice again in my mind saying, it's too much from a previous time, so I just stuck with that. We are going to read, in this specific moment, we're going to read from Luke 1, verse 11 to 13. Speaking about Zechariah now. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, just quickly, Zechariah is a priest. Zechariah is inside the temple. Zechariah is busy with the incense. And as he's busy with that in the temple, the place where he was busy intending to meet with God and be busy with God, an angel appears, and he's afraid. It's often as if we also feel a bit like that when we pray and God actually answers. You're like, what just happened? Was that really God speaking? As if we sometimes think when we have quiet time that we are on our own until God shows up. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. I've seen what you pray, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, the hard part for me was to skip all of the rest of the parts because it goes into what John was supposed to do, why John will be born, which is a beautiful portion of Scripture, but not relevant specifically for this morning. I wanted to jump to Luke 1, verse 18. So after the angel explained to Zechariah why John would be born, remember for now, all we have is, I've heard your prayer, your wife will bear you a son, and his name will be John. That's what we have. After that, the angel explained to him a lot of things, but that is what we know. So Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Now, if you are of very old age, we don't know exactly from what age he prayed for a child, but he was already at an old age, and there's an angel coming in a time of worship, bringing him good news, you will have a son. And his response is not to leap for joy, his response is, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place. Because you did not believe my words. And here comes the interesting part, which will be fulfilled in their time. Such a loaded sentence. Read that last part with me again from verse 20. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place. Because, here's why, you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. So thankful that when God speaks, irrelevant of whether we doubt or whether he doubts, it will still be fulfilled. Because God said so. God said it will be fulfilled because he said it will happen because he said so. Interesting, the same thing happens just a while after that. Literally 10 verses. So in the time between verse 20 and 28, we see the angel going to, telling Elizabeth to go to Mary to go to Elizabeth. And here's what happens in verse 28, Luke 1, verse 28. And he came to her, that's now Gabriel. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Much the same, apart from Zechariah being a priest, being in the temple, being busy with God, having prayed many prayers of wanting a child, wanting his wife to be pregnant. An angel comes and he gives them a word, and Zechariah has a response, and the angel comes and he speaks to Mary. Now listen to her response. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, look at her response. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We see interesting in the responses that Zechariah says, "How shall I know this?" Now, if we just read the words, it looks almost like the two responses were much the same. But the interesting part in terms of the responses was, for Zechariah, his words meant that, "How do I believe this? I cannot see this happening. I doubt the word." The correct interpretation for that word was not, "Lord, how is this going to happen because we are old only?" The way that specific portion of Scripture was, "I do not believe, I doubt the word. I doubt this word is from God." Something immediately happened in his heart, and exactly the opposite happened with Mary. When she said, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" the response was not the same as what Zechariah had. What she was asking is, "How will this be possible? Because the normal flow of things would be that a man has to come with a wife and a child will be born. How will this happen seeing that I'm not married?" In the one instance, a statement question being made saying, "I do not believe this word. This cannot be true." In another way saying, "How? Tell me how." And you see in the response of the angel, in the one goes out without being able to speak because there was unbelief. Another one goes out filled with faith, saying, "This is a word from God. We are now waiting to see how this will work out. How is God going to orchestrate this?" Often, when we position our hearts to hear from God, we hear words that we cannot immediately point. Many times, if we cannot explain what we hear, we feel, "I would rather," you know, we have all of this nice things we say, like, "We'll put it on the shelf, we'll wait it out a bit, we'll, you know, whatever. But God spoke." So time go by. In fact, the scripture says, if you go read after the angel left Zechariah, he was so long inside of the temple that the people outside thought he didn't make it. And when he came out, it's such an interesting part. I'm so battling not to go down that. Please go read Luke 1 at home. But they were waiting outside the temple for so long that eventually when he came out, they felt something should have happened. Now imagine this, him coming out of the temple, walking in there, being able to speak, coming out there, not being able to speak. Now he was trying to show them in signs what just happened. And it's so interesting, scripture says that they thought he heard something from God. In just the way he was signing them, they knew something happened there. Somehow he's alive and somehow he has something from God. Now listen to this. Luke 1 verse 57. "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her." Because for 6 months she hid away. When you go read that scripture, you'll see she hid away during most of her pregnancy. Was it 5 or 6 months? And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord God has shown her great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. That they rejoiced with her, interestingly, it doesn't mean they were happy with her. That specific portion of Scripture means that they had reason to rejoice with her because of the word that God gave. They had reason to rejoice. Not they were just happy because she was happy. They were happy with her because of why she was happy. It's so special. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." Now, here's a very interesting part. And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." Why John? Where do you get this name from? None of your relatives is named this. Now look at this. I'm sure many of us can see our families doing this also. Can you imagine that time when you bring your newborn baby and there's a family gathering and then you say, "I'm going to name my baby Joshua." And your family is like, "What? Who's Joshua? Where do you get that name from? Your dad's name is Quiz." Or whatever, where do you get Joshua from? And they were like, they were like serious about this. Look at verse 62. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. So they were not happy at this point. Can you imagine what they were busy signaling to Zechariah there? You know, luckily he was mute already for a few months. Otherwise they would say, "Hey," you know, in Afrikaans you have the saying like, "Who wears wie dra die broek in jou huis?" You know, who wears the pants in your house? Why is she naming this baby this? Who's John? Where's John coming from? But listen to this, it's so special. And he asked for a writing tablet. Remember now, this was the man that was inside the temple, heard the angel say, "I've heard your prayer. Your wife," not someone else, "your wife will bear you a child, and his name will be John." Because of his unbelief, he was mute. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. Sorry. We just signaled you not to say the same thing that Elizabeth also said. We signaled you so you now take the pants on and name your son Zechariah because that's your name. Okay? And he was like, "No, I remember. His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke, blessing God. In that whole room, if you read that portion of Scripture, then everyone was in awe, saying, "Who is this John that this would happen? Why would this happen? How special is this?" And then a beautiful portion of Scripture after that, Zechariah, the moment his mouth opened, Scripture says, he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he starts prophesying. Now, what I'm praying with you this morning is that through the Holy Spirit, God's grace will be enough for us that we can go back to that moment when we heard God say something to us. And when we hear what he said to us, we will be very sure that we do not respond in unbelief, but that we would receive his word and we will bless him and worship him. Listen to a part of what Zechariah prophesied, and it was so special when I read this because it feels so relevant to what we are going through as a church family. Luke 1, verse 74. And 75, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. Listen to that again. That we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. What a phenomenal prophecy. Relevant today. Relevant for me today. Relevant for you today. There's five things we can take only of those two scriptures. The first is the purpose of redemption. Why have we been delivered from the hand of the enemy? That we should serve Him. What does that look like on earth? Hear from Him and respond. Whether it's a gift, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a business decision, whether it's how to discipline your children, whether it's how to love your wife, whether it's how to submit to your husband, whether it's how to deal with your studies, whether it's how to deal with your workload, I am receiving and I'm responding. I have been set free from my enemy. An enemy meaning anyone, any person, anything opposing me. Anything that's opposing you following Jesus is your enemy. And this morning, that can be a demon also. Do you still believe that? Anything that is opposing you following Jesus is your enemy. You have been set free. Now here we should be very careful. We have been set free, not so we can go sit and watch a series. We have been set free, not so that we can go do all that social stuff that was the reason why I got into this space in the first place. We got set free so that we can serve Him. Purpose of redemption. Let's serve Him. The nature of this service. What does this look like? In holiness and in righteousness before Him. In His presence. The third thing is it's freedom. Being delivered out of the hands of our enemies. Again, the enemy, anything, anyone opposing me following Jesus. That can even be your physical illness. Anything that's stopping you from obeying and responding properly to Jesus. Staying awake. A will to read scripture. A will to pray. A will to respond. Anything that's opposing me following Jesus is your enemy. Handle it like that. Deal with it like that. If you see an enemy, we are not receiving some parts of the enemy and some parts from God. If we can discern this is an enemy, we do not partner with that. Are you with me? We do not partner with the enemy that is opposing us following Jesus. We partner with Him and with Him only. The fourth one is that we might serve Him without fear. Fearlessness. How often have we felt the call to respond? And because of something that happened in our past, we feel, I'm hesitant. You're not hesitant. You're fearful. It's just not the right time. Right time has nothing to do with that. You're fearful. Identify the enemy and speak to your enemy and follow Jesus. At least say it for what it is. And if you do not have the perspective in those moments to actually speak to the enemy and respond well, bring your brother or your sister alongside you, saying, listen, I can identify this. How do I deal with this? How do I follow through this? How do I get on with, I can identify this enemy stopping me and holding me back. How do I walk through this? How do I break this? Remember, me dealing with the enemy is not the victory. He was the one that saved me. I am merely proclaiming what He already did. He saved me and delivered me from my enemy so that I can follow Him. And the last one, it's duration. Only during quiet time. No, Only during the fellowship of believers? No. All the days of our life. Every moment of every day that you are busy walking in. We, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Now my question this morning to myself and to us as a church family this morning, what did we hear God say? And what did we respond? Did we respond in doubt, partnering with a lie, partnering with the enemy, one that he set us free from? Specifically felt that there are people this morning here that's experiencing this mute and deafness that's speaking about, that the scripture is speaking about. Somewhere you made a decision and it silenced you. It silenced your calling. It silenced your gifts. It silenced your willingness and your willful desire to pray and to spend time in scripture, to be at the fellowship of believers. It silenced you. And you will start experiencing things happening in your body as we now speak. Some of you have heard, some of you have even doubted, but some of you chose for moments to respond and to go with, but then a fearfulness came over you. Whatever the reason for that was, a fearfulness came over you, and since then, you kind of stepped back. For some of you here this morning, like John, like Zechariah, you are asking for a writing pad, and you have to write on that, his name is John. For some of you this morning, you have to do something physical saying, this is what God said. This is what I'm called for. Will you please bless us? Will you with me this morning? You are welcome to sit, you're welcome to stand, you're welcome to move around, but what I don't want us to do is to just think makes sense. I even maybe remember this morning what it was. I remember the time that God said something and he spoke to me. I remember the time that I felt I'm doubtful, I'm uncertain, and I'm asking. From that day, I was silenced. And I'm asking you this morning with me, let's bring that writing pads closer. Let's write. His name is John. Whatever that is for you. If you were like Mary, and receiving his word, merely asking, Holy Spirit, please show me how. Please show me each step. Please show me what my next step should be. Will you join me in intercession for those of us that's being healed this morning? Can we as a church family this morning say, if I'm not the one that has to draw the writing pad closer and has to speak out after I've been muted for so long, I will be the one praying and supporting the one that has to. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are so faithful. You are so kind. You are so gentle that you remind us this morning about so many things, Lord. Things that we've maybe forgotten. Things that we thought was dealt with. This morning, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will come show us. Lord, what was that moment that brought me to the place where I was mute and deaf before you? Mute and deaf in my ministry, mute and deaf in my household, mute and deaf in my gifts, mute and deaf in my office, Lord. Just in your own words, there where you are, as the Holy Spirit starts revealing to you, take this opportunity, start speaking to him. I pray in the name of Jesus that every spirit of fear will be lifted from this place. Every spirit of confusion, thank you that you come lift it from us, Lord. You come deliver us from confusion. Come deliver us from fear and anxiety this morning. Thank you for clarity. Choices that's being made at this moment, and I just want you to know there's no later time. Take this opportunity you have. Stand up if you have to. Respond with your body if you have to. Don't allow the enemy to invite you to a place of complacency and passivity at this point. If you feel like walking around to engage with what God is busy with, do that this morning.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.